Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that should concern every Christian, every conservative, and every patriot under the sound of my voice and beyond. It should concern us that we're watching the very foundations being destroyed of the United States of America. Our great nation was founded on biblical principles. Our great nation was founded on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And more and more, year by year by year, we have become desensitized to where we are spiritually, morally, ethically in our nation. And we're watching that take place, ladies and gentlemen, from just about every area of society. In particular, you'll find that with our educational system, with our medical system, with our political system, and with those political candidates that are in position of so-called leadership today. America, a post-Christian nation, is what we're saying today. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you'd like to join in the dialogue discussion, love to have your opinion, your position. Do you see us? Do you see a nation? Do you see America as post-Christian? Do you see a nation today that's focused on morals and ethics and values that are contrary to the biblical concept of what we ought to be doing as a great nation? Across America today, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about it before the broadcast, where parents, mainly mothers, are coming to the rescue of sons and daughters in the public school system and challenging the school boards. Here's one article. Author of porn literature found in the library books, identified as the founder of X-rated sex shop. The fight over sexually explicit, offensive, and inappropriate books being on the library shelves across America, where children have access to them, has exploded in recent months. Sometimes it involves school libraries, sometimes public libraries, sometimes organizations' objects, sometimes it's individual parents. One recent war has developed in Campbell County, Wyoming, where the fight already has included parents requesting criminal charges against the libraries and a library board's chief walking away from that post, and a county commissioner abandoning his office. One of the books that triggered the battle there was Sex is a Funny Word by Corey Silverberg. And now a report by the Federalist paper exposes him, that is Corey Silverberg, as not just an author of a sex book, but the founder of a sex shop as well, intended for children as young as 7 years old, second graders. The book has been featured in middle school libraries across America and discusses the subjects of transgender identity, intersex condition, and masturbation, the report claimed. Further, it claims erroneously that being a boy or a girl doesn't depend on physical characteristics. The Federalist reported, this type of propagandizing has become standard for the left-wing extremists embedded in our educational system across our nation. But what makes it all the more astonishing is both thoroughly unnerving and perversely underreported. However, history of this book's author and the institutional supports that propelled him to notoriety, end quote. And the article continues giving the background of the person, what he's done. But ladies and gentlemen, here's the bottom line. the bottom line is that we have textbooks in classrooms today written by pornographers that is raw pornography that's being produced and presented, and it's produced by the LGBTQ sodomite community. It's produced by the Planned Parenthood community. It's produced by those that are trying to recruit, because a sodomite cannot procreate. He must recruit, and we're watching the recruitment from kindergarten and up in our educational system today, and parents, very, very few parents are willing to take a stand and say enough is enough. We'll not tolerate it for our child in the public school system or in the arena where this is being blasted each and every day as being corrupt. Here's an article that says California mom blames the LGBTQ coaching for brainwashed teen's suicide. It's about a 10-page article. I'm going to read about three paragraphs. It's a sad, sad article, but it must be understood. This is part and parcel of what's happening to our foundation in America today. This is what's taking place in our nation today. The demoralization, the demeaning of human sexuality, and the discussion of the sodomite lifestyle, and being discussed and promulgated in such a way that it's supposed to be that if you don't follow that, if you don't agree with that, something is wrong with you mentally and emotionally and psychologically. A grieving California mom says her severely depressed teen daughter was encouraged to leave her family, go into foster care, and began taking cross-sex hormones before she developed unbearable pain and killed herself by laying down across the railroad tracks in front of a train. Abigail Martinez, 53, alleged school staff at the Arcadia High School, without her knowledge, without her consent, encouraged her daughter, Yaley, to join an LGBTQ club that met at the school during lunchtime. She blames a school psychologist and other school staff, the Los Angeles County Department of Child and Family Services, a transgender student, and her mother, and the LGBTQ club for brainwashing and coaching Yaley on how to get hormone therapy and gender reassignment surgery instead of recommending treatment for her depression. Quote, they were doing all this secretly, the mother says. I didn't even realize that my daughter was going to this club because they do not report that. What they do not report what they're doing at the school to keep them safe from their parents, according to the school leaders. Martinez is not alone in her allegations. Parents at other schools and school districts across California and other states across America have made similar accusations, which have led to the legal battle over parental rights. In the Spectral United School District in Salinas, California, parents Jessica Corin accused school staff at Buena Vista Middle School, I've indoctrinated her daughter through the LGBTQ club. And this article goes on and on and on with case histories, ladies and gentlemen. What I'm trying to get us to understand is that today across America, the sodomite lifestyle, the sodomite LGBTQ agenda is dominating the academic forefront. It's dominating the academic agenda. It's dominating what teachers say and do. It's dominating our school boards across America today, that's allowing this garbage to be propelled into the school books, textbooks, that's allowing the students to read those and to view those and to think somehow it's all right because, after all, it's at school that this is being promulgated, and so therefore it ought to be all right. That's the mindset. But, ladies and gentlemen, that's not good. Ladies and gentlemen, that is contrary to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. All you need to do is go to the book of Genesis, about the 19th chapter, and you will find, ladies and gentlemen, the story, the history behind Sodom and Gomorrah. Because of the homosexuality, the sodomite, if it had been known then, it would have been called the LGBTQ system then. But it was the sodomite lifestyle. Some call it homosexuality. Ladies and gentlemen, homosexuality and the sodomite lifestyle is one of the major, major characteristics of those that will die and go to a devil's hell unless they repent and say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Yet folks get upset, even in churches today, they get upset if you put that on a marquee and say all sodomites are going to die and go to hell unless they repent. And that's simply quoting, ladies and gentlemen, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, 10, and 11. The Apostle Paul talked about those in the church at Corinth of what their life used to be like. He said, but you have been washed. It's the word latreo. You have been washed. You have been changed. You have been blood bought, is what the scripture is saying in chapter 6, verse 11 of 1 Corinthians. But in the 19th chapter of Genesis, ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very clear of what God said and what God did. In fact, in the 19th chapter of Genesis, the 24th and 25th verse, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, not because of a lack of love, not because of a lack of hospitality, as the Sodomites will tell you, that's what that passage means, not because they did not embrace those that came to the door of Lot and wanted to come in, but because of the Sodomite lifestyle, ladies and gentlemen. It's the only sin in the Word of God, from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, it's the only sin that you find where God so condemned it that he destroyed two cities and all of the plains, that is the communities round about those two cities, by sending fire and brimstone down from heaven to zod them, to wipe them out, to destroy them. And you find in Romans chapter 1, ladies and gentlemen, verses 18 and following, a very similar scenario. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Then God's word identifies what a reprobate mind really is, ladies and gentlemen. God's word talks about a reprobate mind. And the reprobate mind is simply this. The word reprobate means depraved, corrupt, sinful, immoral, shameless, wicked, evil, profligate, degenerate, damned, debauched, desolate, corrupt, lost-minded, unruly. That's God's description. It's not mine. It's what God's word says, ladies and gentlemen, is the way that he has treated those in the Sodomite community, those that have been involved in the Sodomite lifestyle, and the polite way today to call it is LGBTQ or gay lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not gay. It's a Sodomite lifestyle according to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Here's an article. A Kansas public school teacher is suing the school officials for requiring her to address students by their preferred names and pronouns. A public school teacher in Kansas is suing the principal of the school, the school district superintendent, and members of the school board after being suspended for not using students' preferred names. Pamela Ricard taught math at the Fort Riley Middle School. She said that she refused to use the preferred names and pronouns of transgenders and non-binary students because it violates her religious beliefs. After being disciplined multiple times for refusing to refer to the students by their preferred names, Ms. Ricard filed a lawsuit against the Gary County School Unified School District. In the lawsuit, Ms. Ricard argued the school's administrators prevented her from ignoring students' preferred names and pronouns, deprived her of due process and equal protection under the law, and violated her First Amendment rights of free speech and exercise of religion. Her lawsuit maintains that her decision to ignore students' preferred names and pronouns does not harm her students. But several LGBTQ Sodomite, my word, not the writer of this article, sympathizers, organizations throughout the country disagreed with this. Marlene Williamham, the executive director of GLSEN, a national organization that emphasizes the LGBTQ agenda throughout the country's K through 12th grade schools, say the misgendering of a child can have serious impact on his or her confidence and mental health. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, it is taking the truth and making it a lie. It's taking what is right and making it wrong. It's taking what is wrong and making it right. The Sodomite agenda and the LGBTQ agenda, the GLSEN agenda, is simply saying here that unless you allow that child to use a misnomer because of sexual dysphoria, that somehow, some way, you're going to cause that child to lose confidence and mental health will be damaged as a result of it. Conversely, ladies and gentlemen, it's our responsibility as moms and dads and as parents, as spiritual leaders, as pastors, to stand in the pulpit and confront this wicked, unholy, ungodly society in which we're living in and call sin, sin. That's the responsibility of our churches today. In fact, the thing that saddens me, shocks me, and it ought not to shock me as much as it does, but even with our lawmakers today, ladies and gentlemen, they can't identify what is male and what is female. Let that sink in for a while. Here's an article that says, lawmaker says that they are unable to define, quote, woman. The Christian Institute has confirmed that two Labour Party members in the United Kingdom say that they're unable to define what is a woman. The Institute reported that as a county marked International Women's Day earlier this week, the Shadow Ministry for Women and Equalities and the Shadow Home Secretary dodged multiple attempts to answer the query in radio interviews. It is their party that has promised to eliminate the safeguards in the nation's Gender Recognition Act so that the people could simply call themselves man or woman, and that shows they would have to be recognized whichever they call themselves. Currently, a medical diagnosis of gender dysphoria is required, and the individual must have lived as a member of the chosen sex for at least 2 years. And they're wanting to obliterate that, to remove that, ladies and gentlemen. But that's bad enough that it be found in other nations, but it permeates society today in America. This is the reason you're finding women's sports, swimming, for example, on the high profile today with the NCAA championship just having taken place. I'm looking at an article where it says, Governor DeSantis proclaims female swimmer as the real winner in race won by the transgender athlete. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis recognized Sarasota native Emma Wyatt as the fastest woman competitor in the NCAA championship 500-yard freestyle race in Tuesday's proclamation. Quote, we're doing a proclamation saying that Emma is the best female swimmer in the 500 freestyle because she earned that, and we need to stop allowing an organization like the NCAA to perpetrate frauds on the public, DeSantis said. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're putting ideology ahead of opportunity for women athletes. The governor's office criticized the NCAA's decision to allow transgender athletes who are biologically male to compete against women, according to the statement. Quote, not only is it unfair for males to compete in women's sports, but it is ridiculous for the NCAA to deny material reality and demand that all Americans play along with their charade, DeSantis' press secretary told the Daily Caller News Foundation. In Florida, we stand for truth, he said. I like that. We will always reject the left's attempt to impose an absurd ideology that ignores the existence of biological sex. Ladies and gentlemen, that's bad enough. But I want you to understand that even with the one that's being interviewed today, as an appointee, designated appointee, by Sleepy Joe Biden, the judge that's being interviewed for a Supreme Court seat, when asked to identify what is male and what is female, the question was specifically, what is a woman? What is a woman? And she could not, she refused to, when asked to define, give the definition of what is a woman. She refused to do so. She said, I'm not a biologist. I'm not a scientist. I cannot tell you. I can't answer that question. Ladies and gentlemen, if you hadn't got enough sense to recognize male from female and understand that God created male and female, created he them, Genesis 1:27 tells us very clearly, God didn't make a mistake. God wasn't asleep. God didn't have COVID. He wasn't on vacation. God's not dead, not ever been dead. He's alive. He created two. It's male and female, and the genitalia of each male and female is very, very clear, and there's no mistaking about the difference. And yet we have so deceived ourselves as a nation that somehow, some way, even an appointee for the Supreme Court justice seat cannot answer the question, what is a woman? Today, the Supreme Court will deal with the issue, ladies and gentlemen, of making that decision, making the decision of what is a male and what is a female. Today, ladies and gentlemen, on the agenda of the Supreme Court to be heard this fall, hear me, this fall, the Supreme Court will adjudicate what is a male and what is a female. That is a case that's been percolating for about 5 years. It's born out of a funeral home in Georgia, where the funeral home director had to fire a man that had been working for them for about 12 years, I believe the history will show us. He had been working for them about 12 years. He walked in one Monday morning wearing high-heeled shoes and a blonde wig and lipstick and makeup on, and said that he had transitioned to a woman and wanted to continue to work. The funeral home director said he could not do that. It would be an embarrassment for the business. It would run away customers, et cetera, et cetera. And as a result of that, the man refused to change back and say, I'm a man, which biologically he was. And as a result of that, the funeral home director fired him. He filed suit. It's worked its way through the lower courts, and that's on the agenda for the Supreme Court to hear. And the Supreme Court must make a decision. What is a woman and what is a man? Ladies and gentlemen, we're in trouble as a nation when we leave the definition of male and female, when we leave the Word of God and go to what a court says, what a court might rule as to the difference between male and female and what that really is. This is the thing, ladies and gentlemen, that's spawning all kinds of unholy, ungodly, immoral activity in a classroom, in our schools today, in places that are public where we're finding today that immoral, unholy, ungodly activity is taking place. I'm looking at one that says, a new low for America, a substitute teacher masturbating in front of the classroom. The first bomb came from Nutley, New Jersey, a high-end town, or so we thought. A substitute teacher was arrested for masturbating in front of the high school class. Hard to imagine, isn't it? But actually, it gets even worse. This was the second offense. He was already being investigated for having done the same thing just 1 month before in a middle school classroom. One wonders how difficult this must have been to investigate, given the fact that the whole classroom were eyewitnesses. So while the investigation was going on, the school district gave this kook another gig at teaching. This time he had to be arrested. True, the standards aren't very high anymore in our schools. If you can fog a mirror, you can be a substitute teacher in most school districts in America today. As long as the police aren't already chasing you, you can teach. But it's really, really hard to imagine something like this really happening. Jeffrey Toobin did it on the air, as you recall, with CNN News with the cameras rolling. As if it weren't already bad enough, the public school teachers teaching critical race theory and transgender propaganda, they had to throw this into the mix. Why do parents still send their kids to public school? Search the question and answer it, this writer says. Then there was the other incident at one in Portland, Oregon. We should probably expect this kind of thing from Portland, but we didn't. Here, a children's hospital is teaching little boys how to tuck their genitals and moving, et cetera, et cetera. And I read that article a little earlier, ladies and gentlemen. The whole point, ladies and gentlemen, hear me. We have sunk to the level morally and ethically and spiritually that we can no longer be referred to as a Christian nation. We're a post-Christian generation today. We're post-Christian generation. Our morals and our ethics and our values are no more than an alley cat, as my mother used to call it, in society. And this is very, very relevant and evident when we look at an article where the shoppers take matters into their own hands when a man allegedly tries to rape a woman in the Walmart store in the daytime in an aisle. Shoppers at the Miami area Walmart reported attempted rape on Sunday, and the incident was caught on camera. Police say the woman was shopping in a Northwest Miami Walmart store Sunday evening when the 28-year-old Brendan Jarmel Harvey approached her from behind, pulled her dress up, took her clothes off, et cetera, et cetera. When the woman turned around, Harvey allegedly pushed the woman to the ground, and after ripping her clothes off, et cetera, et cetera, the victim screamed for help and endured the assault. Fortunately, nearby shoppers acted quickly, removing Harvey from the victim and subduing him until the police arrived to arrest him. According to Miami-Dade court records, this perpetrator was out on felony bond at the time of the assault of crimes and allegedly occurred 1 week before the Walmart attack. He was also on probation for previously having disorderly conduct and being convicted for it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having perverts on the streets, we're having perverts in the classroom. We're having perverts that are in charge of the academia in our classrooms and in our schools across America today. And yet we find that our courts are not doing anything about it. Our judges are complicit with it. And as a result of that, we've gotten to the point that we can't even identify male from female in society. And ladies and gentlemen, the question that I ask and begs to be answered, why is it that this is taking place today? When's the last time you've heard a fiery message from the pulpits across America calling sin, sin? When's the last time you've heard people like Joel Osteen say, if you don't say yes to Jesus, you're going to die and burn in the devil's hell? When's the last time you've heard T.D. Jakes or any of the other well-known television pastors, when have you heard them preach about sin and the judgment of God and talking about what's happening with the plummeting morals and ethics and the values in our nation? When's the last time you heard someone from a pulpit scream that judgment is coming and without Christ you'll die and spend an eternity in the devil's hell? Ladies and gentlemen, that's not happening today. It's not taking place today. Too many spineless preachers themselves are so fallen from the truth of the gospel that they no longer proclaim the truth of the gospel. I'm looking at an article that's sad. It's a fence writer that's writing it. It says, when Christian leaders celebrate their liberty to drink, he says, I do not write this article to throw stones. I write this to save lives. That's why I make this heartfelt and anguished plea. If you're a pastor, a minister, leader, that you believe that, according to the Bible, you have the liberty to drink alcoholic beverages, please don't turn that liberty into public boasting. Look at how I feel and look at how free I am. You can enjoy the freedom before God, this writer says, with moderation and with discipline. Please don't bash those who practice total abstinence. Ladies and gentlemen, total abstinence is what is taught in the Word of God, morally, ethically, and spiritually, and especially when it comes to alcoholic beverages. There are over 100 verses in the Bible that says you cannot participate, that you cannot even place it in your hand and pass it on to someone else. The Bible calls the one that is deceived by drink, alcoholic beverages, the Bible calls them a fool, a fool. And when you look at the Scripture, in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29 and following, you find that it talks about it brings about calamity, brings about confusion, it brings about drunkenness, it brings about perverseness and activity and action in what is being done. But ladies and gentlemen, it is simply the need today for Papa Bears, as one writer called it, to stand up, speak up, be heard. It's time for Papa Bears in the pulpits and before school boards to say something and do something. This is an article that's dated the 24th of March. Where are the Papa Bears? Christian influence in the world, especially in America, is waning. The land of the free and the home of the brave is no longer free or brave. Somewhere along the road to destruction, the body of Christ made the decision to stop contending for the faith. According to the dictionary, contend is a strong active adverb or verb. It conjures up such synonyms as battle, complete, face-off, fight, race, rival. When's the last time you heard a sermon from a pulpit where he's standing in opposition to what's happening in the morals and ethics and the values in our nation? Perhaps there's a need, this article goes on to say, for men to stand up today. Stand in the pulpit, stand in the highways and hedges, stand as a watchman on the wall and warn danger ahead, danger ahead. And ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you've heard this and you've heard it aright. I pray that you've taken it to heart and that there will be serious thoughts in relationship to what we need to do and how we need to turn. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
5 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.